Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, again we're thankful that we have this opportunity to come here this evening and learn about your word. May we pay attention to what is taught to us this evening so that we can apply it in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. John, the 18th chapter. The title of my message tonight is a dual title, The Murder of Jesus and Paper Bleeds Little. Have you ever heard of that old saying, paper bleeds a little? Paper bleeds little. When nations sign declarations of war, it's on paper, isn't it? The people that sign the declarations of war very seldom ever bleed. Do they? No, they very seldom ever bleed. When people make treaties, they seldom ever bleed. It's the people that uphold the treaties, the governments. When you sign a paper, when you join the army, the paper is in the hands of the higher-ups. They don't bleed, but the soldiers bleed. All right? There was a contract in the Old Testament, starting out with Genesis 3:15. The Bible is not a... Let's just put it this way. No scripture is of private interpretation. If you've got something that the Bible teaches or you believe that the Bible teaches a certain thing in Genesis or in Revelation and it doesn't agree with the rest of the Bible, that's what you call private interpretation. It's alone, stands alone. There is no standing alone scriptures like that. The Bible always taught one thing, that the God of heaven planned on since eternity past, the plan of salvation is that God would redeem mankind back to himself and the whole universe back to himself through the merits of Jesus Christ, where God, in John 1:14, Kai Hologos Sarx Agenito, and the Word, or the Jehovah, flesh he became and dwelt among us. That's the name Jehovah means he who shall become. That God would become flesh and through the human race would redeem by the agency of the human race, because God became flesh, that he would redeem the world and mankind back to himself. And of course, the world is kind of a what we call, it does not have volition like mankind and animals have. Things that think have volition, don't they? Okay? Angels, spirits, man, whatever, you know, life, it has volition. But the universe itself, the stars just keep on going in the right track, don't they? And the universe just keeps on going in the right way. There are wandering stars out there, as we call comets and different things. But when the storm was roaring there on the Sea of Galilee, what did Jesus say? Shut up. Be still. It just stopped. Okay? Stopped. The elements of nature obey the God of heaven. Mankind, we're rebellious, aren't we? And we have the most dangerous gift in the world, the gift of volition or free will. Okay? 1826, the murder of Jesus, and paper bleeds little. We're going to find out that here we have the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures. Psalm 22, Isaiah 53, Genesis 3:15, and 1,000 other places. The Bible is God's inspired word. God used writers put it in their own words, but he inspired them without mistakes to write the word of God. Every tense, mode, and voice is inspired in God's word. Lege, heis, ek, ton, doulon, tu, akerios, sing, enes, on, hu, apoxen, Heteros, Tol, Otion, Uk, Ego, Si, Adon, En, To, Kapo, Met, Autu. One out of the slaves of the high priest, a relative being, of whom cut off Peter the ear. Okay? Now, not I saw in the garden with him. Now, let's look at it through Peter's eyes. What did this slave say? This slave girl. What did she say? The doorkeeper. All right. What did these slaves say?
She's trying to implicate him.
Trying to implicate him. What would be the charge? What would be the charge against Peter? What would be the charge against Peter for
attempted
doing
murder.
What he did? Huh?
Attempted murder.
Attempted murder. So Peter was denying it because he would be crucified right along with Jesus. Okay? He got scared. And so he denied the Lord. All right, now in verse 27, now we covered that a little bit last week, but we wanted to look at that again. If Peter would have answered, they could have tried him for attempted murder. Now let's go on. This relative of Malchus was present here, okay? 1827, Pauline, Un, Ernesato, Petros, Kai, Euthios, Alictor, Ephonasin. Therefore again he denied for himself, Peter. Now this, how many times is this? What time is this one that he denied? How many times did Peter? This is the third time he denied. The third time he denied. Jesus told him before the cock crows, twice you will deny me, three times. Between 9 p.m. and 3 a.m. you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows the second time. This was right after, remember? Let's look at God's clock at 9 p.m., 12, 3, 6. A rooster crows every 3 hours. So he told him, right here, right after 9 o'clock, before the cock crows twice, you'll deny me three times. Here would once, and right here would be the second time. So right between 9 p.m. and 3 a.m. Now, he's been beat up a lot during that time. He's on trial in Annas and Caiaphas, okay? By Annas and Caiaphas. We got both of the rascals there. Again, therefore, he denied Peter, and immediately, Euthios, little adverb there, the cock, Alictor, he sounded and he crowed about 3 a.m. That's when he crowed, about 3 a.m. Okay? Now, Luke, in 22 and verse 61, makes a note that Jesus, when the rooster crowed, that Jesus turned and looked at Peter and saw him. And he didn't have to say a word, did he? Didn't have to say a word. He knew exactly. I think that Peter was probably a pretty big man, but I bet he felt like he was an inch tall right then. Now Jesus is before Pilate. All right? 18:28 through 38. We got 10 verses here that has Jesus on trial before Pilate. Akusin, Un, Ton, Eson, Apo, Tu, Caiapha, Ace, To, Pri, I can hardly read my own writing, Praetorion, Ain, De, Priel, Kai, Altoi, Uk, Ace, Elthon, Ace, To, Praetorion, Hina, May, Mian, Thusen, Ola, Vagusen, To, Pasca. Agusen. Comes from ago. That's the root of it. They led and kept on leading, therefore, the Jesus from the Caiaphas. Remember what Caiaphas means? What does Caiaphas mean?
Depressed.
Depressed. Thank you, young lady. You got A+ tonight. Unto the praetorium, the governor's official residence. Okay? The palace, the praetorium. The praetorium, it kept on being moreover early. It kept on being early. See, we have it here at 3 a.m. now. Right after 3 a.m. It's not daylight yet, is it? They're out here in the middle of the night breaking their own laws constantly. And they entered into the praetorium in order that not they should defile. They may defile, but they may eat the Passover. They didn't want to defile themselves by walking into a Gentile's house because they wanted to eat the Passover dinner. They were going to commit murder, but they were religious nuts. Religious. Okay? Now here are two more violations of Jewish law, legal procedure. Holding the trial for a capital offense at night. Second, passing condemnation on the same day of the trial. A refutal witness was given time to show up before the final condemnation was given. Number three, the Sanhedrin no longer had power to deliver a death sentence. The Roman court could meet any time after sunrise. They're even breaking Roman laws now. It's not sunrise. Okay? It was about the sixth hour when Pilate condemned Jesus. All right. They're breaking all the laws. They're demanding that Pilate correspond and cooperate with them in their outlawry. They're just religious outlaws. Yet, they don't want to defile themselves. Yet, the Bible says, thou shalt not commit false witness. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not what? Steal. Thou shalt not kill. Yeah, thou shalt honor the Lord thy God and him only. Thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in vain. They were breaking all of these, weren't they? What? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Spiritual adultery, spiritual fornication is what they're doing. They were loving and kissing the religion and murdering the God that created them. This is really ridiculous, isn't it? But people do that, okay? XL thing. Un ho pilatos, exo pros autos, kai phason tina kateter gorion, ferete kata tu anthropu, tuto. In the analytical lexicon. How many of you got your lexicons here tonight? Anybody got that? Page 10. We'll look at that in just a few moments. I brought the new looking so you could see what it looked like when it was good. The other one with the cover is at home. All right. This is a compound word, this accusation here. And he went out, therefore, the pilot, outside toward them. He goes out there and now he gives in to them. He condescends to their religious bigotry. And he says, all right, that comes from Phoebe. What accusation? Kata ergerion. All right, kata ergerion. This is a compound word. Kata means what? That's a preposition means what? Kata. Brother Roger, caught him.
According to?
According to or like hippo.
Okay.
All right. Down. Mm-hmm. To look down, to down. It emphasizes, it compounds, magnifies this. Now this word here that he's talking about, it means a motive of operation. A motive of operation, an MO. When people criminals, they said, well, this is his MO. This is what he does. This is what he does. All right? What accusation, what evidence, what mode of operation? What's this guy doing? Is he incitement, accusation, crime? What kind of case do you have against him? What kind of charge do you have? How did you accuse him? Is he the author and the perpetrator of some terrible crime? Okay. What kind of accusation do you carry against the man? This. Against the man, this. See that word kata again. See that preposition there, page 213. What kind of accusation do you carry against this man? 18 and verse 30. Now, these were false accusations, weren't they? We know that. False accusations. Now, if you go to the Quran for a moment, and you look at Jesus of the Quran, if you look at Jesus of the Gnostics, who were the Gnostics? It comes from Gnosko, doesn't it?
Barnabas.
What?
Barnabas one.
The ones that denied the resurrection, that denied that Jesus was really God in flesh, those people had a lot of effect upon Muhammad in Arabia. They were down there in Arabia. Matter of fact, one of the early church fathers that lived during that period of time named the man that kept on having contact and kept on teaching Muhammad about his ideas of his Gnostic ideas. Too bad some Christian, really genuine Christian, didn't affect him more. Okay. The Quran teaches that Jesus was born of a virgin, that he did all kinds of literally ridiculous miracles, didn't mean anything. He did a lot of miracles. He raised the dead. He did all this by the power of Allah, okay? But that God was a great deceiver. Now, Allah, their name for Allah comes from Baal. Baal, Beelzebub, all of that comes from the same one. What is the symbol of Islam? The crescent moon and the star. This goes way back. And what do they worship there in Mecca? Basically, they say they don't worship it. But what is this Kaaba, this black stone? What do they say the black stone is?
A meteorite.
It's a meteorite that fell out of heaven. What was Astarte and Aphrodite? A meteorite that fell out of heaven and they made images to her. Well, in Mecca, they would go here. This was way long time ago. And one of their gods was Allah. And they worshiped Mary and they worshiped Jesus. Because we find out in the 5th and the 6th, well, in the 500s and 600s, we already have Mariolatry. Okay? And so they were worshiping. There were many gods all around this stone. And they went around and they worshiped. They walked 7 times around the stone and their sins would be forgiven. The stone that fell from heaven, that's the moon god that they would worship, okay? And Astarte and Aphrodite, all of this was from the same origin, okay? They would go there and they'd march around the stone, and you have to make this journey once in your life. This is how you get your sins forgiven. You walk around and you touch the black stone. The black stone, according to them, is the hand of the invisible God Allah. It's his hand. You're touching his hand and you're passing your sins onto him. They say that the stone one time was milky white, but because of all of the sins of Islam, of the Muslims, that it turned black. Okay, but you go back in history and it doesn't say that. History means a lot. They also say that Jesus Christ did not die on the cross of Calvary, that Allah deceived them and made them think that Jesus was being tried and that Jesus died, but actually he killed him and took him to heaven. and somebody else was crucified in his place, and they said Judas Iscariot or Simon the Cyrene or somebody, according to what book you read and what hadith, okay? They're not quite settled on who died on the cross, but it wasn't Jesus for sure. Now, if you look at the Bible, denying the person of God, who he actually is, Jesus is who of the Old Testament? He's Jehovah of the Old Testament. He is God the Son. That's what the Bible teaches. It plainly teaches that. Now, you have the Bible as a valid witness. Okay? The Bible is inspired. Genesis does not disagree with Revelation, nor does Genesis disagree with the Gospel of John or 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. That all agrees. We know that there were Gnostics in the time of the writing of the New Testament, because we do. John, the apostle, condemned the Gnostics in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and every now and then slapped their faces in the book of Revelation. And even the whole purpose of the writing of the Gospel of John to prove that Jesus is Jehovah God of the Old Testament became flesh. If you do not say that, you know what that is? That's blasphemy. That's blasphemy. To say that Jesus Christ did not die on the cross of Calvary and rose from the dead, it's blasphemy. We have the God of heaven coming down and becoming flesh and dying on the cross of Calvary to redeem mankind. And to say that didn't happen? That's denying the whole Word of God. And by the way, the Word of God can be proven by history, can it? Historical references of the very time of the writing of the Bible. Pontius Pilate's letter that he wrote. Did he say he was the Son of God? Yes. Did Tiberius Caesar believe that he was the Son of God according to history? Yes, he did. Did he do all the miracles that he did according to history? Did he die on the cross of Calvary according to the history? Was he raised according to history? After being in the grave 3 days? Did he walk around? Were other people raised from the dead when he rose from the dead? According to history, yes they were. Did he ascend into heaven? Yes. Did he have a great following afterwards? Yes. Did all the people that followed him except for John were murdered? And they became martyrs. Okay? Now we're studying the murder of Jesus, God the Son, Jehovah of the Old Testament. This is who he is. He's not some figment of our imagination. Historically and biblically, that's who he is. Period. No argument. You can say whatever you want to say in other religions, but this is the Bible. And the Bible is defending Jesus as God the Son. Absolutely. Without doubt. We know that these Gnostics existed at this time. And the Bible is reprimanding them in these pages. And he went out for, therefore, Pilate toward them, and he says to them, what accusation you bring against the man? This. And they answered, and they said to him, except Hippon being this one evildoer. We didn't read this one yet, did we? Okay. Apokritheson. Kai. Apon. Auto. A. Me. Ain. Hutos. Kakon. Poyon. Uk. On. Si. Para. Do. Kamen. Auton. And they answered. They were caused to answer, and they said to him, except, literally, we have, if not, or since not, he kept on being this one. This one kept on being an evildoer. He was a bad man. He was a habitual criminal. He was a very evil man. He was Adamic. This word kakos is what it comes from. Kakos means Adamic evil, and this means all of the bad things that a man is, you know. What you do? He broke all the commandments. That's what he did. He broke all the commandments. He's a bad guy. And not would you, we delivered over him over to you. He would have kept on being out here doing these things if we hadn't brought him here to you. He would be, Sharon, you want to come up here and read that last three verses from the Amplified Bible, please?
Okay, so like 27?
Yeah, 27, 28, 29, 30.
And again Peter denied it, and immediately a rooster crowed. Then they brought Jesus from Caiaphas into the praetorium, judgment hall, governor's palace, and it was early. They themselves did not enter the praetorium that they might not be defiled, become ceremonially unclean, but might be fit to eat the Passover supper. So Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" And they retorted, "If he were not an evildoer, a criminal, would we not have handed him over to you?"
All right, he'd be still out there doing all these things if we hadn't handed him over to you. 1831 now, 1831. Epein, un autois, ho Pilatos, labete, auton himes, kai kata ton nomon, himon crinate, auton, epein un auto, hoi judeoi, hemen uk, ex esten, apocatene, udene. And he said therefore to them, the Pilate, "You take him, and ye, according to your own law, of you, belonging to you, you judge him." And they said therefore to him, the Jews said therefore to him, "It is not law for us to kill anyone." Now, Jesus was the seed of Judah, wasn't he? Was he not? The lion of the tribe of Judah. He was the seed of Judah. The Bible said, "The scepter will not depart from the descendant of David till the Lord Shiloh shall come." The Jews lost the right to exact capital punishment about 6 A.D. And that was after Jesus was born. Okay? About 6 A.D. after Christ had come. All right? Genesis 49 and 10. Let's go back to Genesis 49 and 10 for just a moment. Remember, I tell you, the Old Testament doesn't disagree with the gospel according to John. Genesis 49 and verse 10. We have a description of him. And this prophecy. Verse number 8. "Judah, your brother shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies, and your father's son shall bow down to you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He crouches, he lies down like a lion, and as a lion, who dares raise him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff between his feet until Shiloh comes." All right, now there is the prophecy of Hot. This is Jacob's prophecy. Here we have, you show me one religious book in the world that can go for 2,000 and 3,000 years and prophesy something, that event that's going to happen. Down to the cross and the teeth and dot and the I. You show me that. Show me one of those. There isn't anything like that. This tells about what happened, what would happen politically. They couldn't do this. But they did not lose the right for capital punishment until Jesus was born. The scepter would not depart from Judah. Now, when Jesus was born, Jesus should have been heir to the throne of Israel, except the devil got involved, didn't he? Who was on the throne? Esau and Ishmael's descendants, which are not the promised seed. They're all cousins and brothers and so on and so forth to the Jews, but these are not the promised side. Okay? Not the promised side. The Bible tells us that Abraham took Isaac and offered him there on Mount Moriah, didn't it? The Quran disagrees with that and says that Abraham took Ishmael to Mecca and offered him there on that rock. Now, I believe the Bible. Simple as that. I believe that the Bible will verify, history will verify that. All of the historical sources tell us this happened. Okay? All the historical sources. But it takes a lot of belief, really takes a lot of trust in a religious system to trust some of the things that some of these groups say, doesn't it? Because it is totally in violence to historical data and the Bible data. You can beat your hammer's on the anvil of the Bible forever, and you won't bother the anvil. You're going to beat up the hammers. Because the Bible will prove out to be historically, medically, and archaeologically correct. That's the way it is. Just study it. Find out. Challenge you to do that. 8 and verse 32. Now John is putting Jesus' word on par with the Old Testament scriptures. For in reality, Jesus is the one that inspired them, isn't he? 1832, Hina, ho logos, tu esu, pleirothe, on, epan, seimionon, poio, thanato, emelen, apothenesken. In order that the word of Jesus, look at this, it might be fulfilled. Jesus spoke the words, but Jesus repeated what the Old Testament scripture said, didn't he? Genesis 3:15 says what? That's the first promise of the Messiah. Jehovah God, Jesus, is talking to the snake. And of course, Adam and Eve are standing there. Okay? Now, he's talking to the snake and he says, I will put active hatred between your seed. Who's that? The Antichrist. And her seed, which is Jesus Christ, which will become him. And you shall bruise him as to the heel. That's this murder of Jesus here. This is the blood. Their paper bleeds little. But this time, the prophecies of the Old Testament, we can see the blood of Jesus in them. And Jesus stood as a lamb slain from before the foundation, before he ever created the world, because this was the plan of God. Now, paper bleeds, contracts, declarations of war, paper bleeds little, but our Savior bled a lot. The Word of God is powerful. The religious writings of groups mean nothing. Paper's cheap. And that's another term, paper's cheap. Paper bleeds little. But when God wrote down in his beautiful word a story of love, how God would reach down and become part of the human race to redeem the human race and the whole cosmos back to himself, it would cost him everything. Jesus became subject. Jehovah became subject to hunger, to death, to misery, to humiliation. That's the kind of God we have. We don't have one so far away that we can't touch him. He came down and touched us. That the word of Jesus, it might be fulfilled, which he said, signifying by a sign, by what death, that he was about to die. What death was he about to die? Of crucifixion. Remember when I told you the story of Jonah going over there? God wanted to save Nineveh. Nineveh invented crucifixion. It wasn't quite crucifixion yet, but that's where the start of it was. If he didn't save Nineveh, Jesus wouldn't have been crucified, because that form of execution would not have been passed down to the Romans. Okay? You can see God's eternal purpose and his permissive will. 1833. Pilate asked him, "Are you really the king of the Jews?" Now, Pilate knew a lot of this stuff already. Why is he officially doing all of this? He already had an interview with him according to his letter to Tiberius Caesar. And that letter, by the way, is historically accurate. Many, many historians quote from his letter, from the period, the very contemporaries of that time. They quote many things from Pontius Pilate's letter to Tiberius Caesar, and we have the whole letter. If we didn't even have in our hands the whole letter, as much as been quoted by the other historians, we'd have almost enough to rewrite the whole thing. 1833, Ace Elthon, un Pauline, Aisto Praetorion, ho politos kai ephaneson ton esun kai epen alto si a ho basileus ton eudaeon. He entered therefore again into the praetorium, the pilot, and he called to Jesus. Now, they're going to take Jesus in there. Now, I'm going to ask you something. We just had the Passover week this last week, supposedly, okay? The Catholic idea of Jesus being crucified on Friday, don't we? What does that say? They was crucified on Wednesday, okay? Not only that, but did Jesus take the Passover early that year? He took the Passover early because he wasn't going to be there, all right? He wasn't going to be there doing the Passover. So he took it early with his disciples and nullified the Passover, didn't he? What did he change the Passover to? He took it away from the family of the Jews and did what? And gave it to the church, which was already in existence. All right, the church was already in existence. He instituted the Lord's Supper. The church was already baptizing. The church already had a limited commission when the 70 went out. The church was already baptizing. The church already had a treasurer, which was Judas Iscariot. Okay. Judah. Did you ever think about Judas Iscariot's name was Judah? Jesus is from the tribe of Judah. Just think about that. My own friend, in the house of my own friend, he betrayed me. He entered in therefore again into the praetorium, the pilot, and he called Jesus, and he said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" All right? Now he had to do this. He had to officially, this is being recorded, by the way, by a court recorder. All this happened legally. Now, he already knows who Jesus is. He already interviewed him according to his letter, and he tells about it. And he writes about the trial, doesn't he? In Pontius Pilate's letter to Tiberius, he writes about the trial here. And he writes why he did what he did. Now, this isn't because Pontius Pilate didn't know that Jesus was the king of the Jews. He had told him in the interview that he had with him that he had a kingdom not of this world and that there was nothing. And he said, "I will protect you." And he said, "There's nothing you can do. I was born to this reason, for this reason." So now let's see what he says in 1834. Apocrite Jesus apocyotu si tuto leges e alloi epon si peri emu. And he answered Jesus, "From yourself, this you say, or others they told to you about me." Is this coming from your own heart, or is this what they said? Okay. Now in 1835, we have Pilate's answer. Apocrite, ho Pilatos, meti ego eudeos, eimi to ethnos, to son, kai hoi a arkerios arkeris paradokon si emoi ti epoiesos. And he answered to Pilate, I'm not a Jew, am I? The nation, your own, and the ones chief priests, they have handed you over. They have betrayed you to me. What you did? What have you done? Now, Pontius Pilate knows this, doesn't he? Why does he ask him this question? Because it legally has to be written down in by the court recorder, which has been woke up in the middle of the night. Okay? So now we've got the court recorder out there recording all of this, and we have the Lord. Now, we know John wasn't in there, don't we? Was John in the praetorium? Was he there? Was John, the writer of this gospel, there?
On the outside.
Yeah, on the outside, but God inspired him to write this because this is what happened. Okay? 1836, Apocrite, Jesus, he basileia, he eme, uk esten, ek tu cosmu, t tuto. A ek tu cosmu tuto. Ein he basilia he eme. Hoi hiparete hoi emoi. Ego nisonto an hina me paradose. Tois judeois. Nin de he basilia he eme uk esten en tiethen. Jesus, he answered, the kingdom, the my, not it is of this world system. This is the devil's world that we live in today. But it's going to be the Lord's one of these days. Bad things going to happen at the end of this age, and we see them coming together, don't we? We see all of the religious and the upheaval that's coming upon the world. We see it coming. There's a lot of bad things going to happen, but the Lord's going to bail her out one of these days. He's going to come down and get everything under his control. I'm not out of this world, this. You know, the Southern Baptist Convention one time, early 1900s, before World War I, they said, give us, I think it was $3 million, and we will bring the millennial in. We'll bring in the millennium. We'll convert the whole world. They should have read the rest of the Bible. They were a little bit wrong, weren't they? After World War I, they had really second thoughts. Finally, when World War II, they didn't say that anymore at all. They didn't say it. Besides that, they got a little bit more educated with what's out there religiously in the world. There's some people you're not going to convert. We're not going to convert everybody in the world. They misapplied a parable, the parable of the leaven. The woman took leaven and hid in the loaf until it all became leavened. Now they said the loaf, the leaven was the gospel. Is leaven ever good in the Bible? No, it's always evil. Is a woman, basically a woman, when it talks about woman in the Bible, is that ever good, really? Come on, girls. No. No. It's usually of a false religious system. Yes, that's a false religious system. The false religious system will try to take over the world, and we find that the Antichrist in the book of Revelation is going to try to take over the world, and he will be worshipped as God for a while. We know that's going to happen. That's what the Bible says. Misapplication of Scripture. Now, these people knew how to be saved, these Southern Baptists. They knew what the plan of salvation was and everything, but they didn't get their hermeneutics right. They didn't get their theology straight. We got a little bit better idea about it today. They just went astray. They really had some big plans. A lot of denominations can have big plans, but they better be according to the Word of God. For many, many, many years, the Southern Baptists swore up and down that the reason why people were black because they had the mark of Cain on them and they were bound and determined and predetermined to be slaves. And that was our economic system. Was that wrong or right? It's wrong. Cain doesn't exist today, does he? His descendants. The mark that God put on Cain, when did all of his descendants die? When did all of Cain's descendants die? Who knows? Look at the chart. When did Cain's descendants die? All of Cain's race die. They didn't make it. At the flood, you get another A-plus for God. They all died before the flood. So we don't have any descendants of Cain with some mark on them or whatever, do we? We don't know what it was. Canaan now, those in Canaan, they will be servants to servants. That really did happen, didn't it? Those are the ones that went in and built up Palestine, the land of the Philistines and so on and so forth. And Israel came out of Egypt, had been there for over 400 years, and God gave it to them. And that prophecy was fulfilled. But sometimes people practice as they try to justify their practices. Okay? There were many people in early America that tried to tell the people that held slaves, it's a lot more practical to not buy a slave because slaves get old and then you got to take care of them. It's really illegal to kill them, you know. When they wear out, you got to feed them when they're old. If you take and indenture a slave for 10, 15 years, you got the prime of their life, then turn them loose and you don't have to feed them when they get old. So that don't cost you so much. simple as that. And besides that, work willingly, especially if you give them some incentive. That maybe you will, when they leave, maybe you'll give them $50 or something to go start a business or whatever you trade that they were doing. Maybe they were blacksmiths or wheelwrights or whatever. You know, you could send them out. They could start a business. And then maybe you could even do business with them. And that happened so many times. And that was a lot more profitable than having slaves, but people like to believe in slaves. They do that. There's a lot of slavery in the world today, isn't there? Almost in every Islamic nation, there are slaves. Islam says to the men of the Muslims, they said, you can have four wives. And all of the slaves at your right hand can hold or detain. In other words, all the slaves. You can have four wives and all the female slaves that you can get. That's fact. The Quran says that. The Hadith says that. The Ahadith says that. That's still in practice today in so many of those lands today. Slavery in Christianity, finally, Christianity basically stopped slavery in the Western world. And the Bible in America gave women equal rights with men. Who was the first woman in America to vote? Who knows? She illegally voted, but what was her name? You know, Sonia? How about you, young lady? You know who the first woman to vote was? How about you, Roger? You know who it was? Come on, girl. It's left up to you now. The little red-headed genius. Susan B. Anthony voted way early. They put her in, her and her sister voted, and they put her in jail and took her to court and tried her and fined her $100 for voting. Because she wasn't able to. She was a woman. Not until 1920 did women have the right to vote in America. And the men in America were afraid to give women the right to vote. Why? Why were they afraid? They would start prohibition. And they did. All right. But it didn't work, did it? All right. My kingdom is not of this world. It's out of the world this is. It kept on being the kingdom. My servants, my servants, my slaves, the ones mine, they would have kept on fighting in order that not I may be handed over to the Jews. But now the kingdom mine, not it is from here. My kingdom is not from here. 1837. Sounds like years, doesn't it? A pain. Un alto, ho palatos, u con basilies, a si apocrite, ho esus, si leges, hote basilies, a me ego ace, tuto gegene me, kai ace tuto, ele litha, ace ton cosmon, hina, matutu reso, te alithia, pas ho un, ek tes athelias, acue mu tes phone. Long verse. And he said therefore to him, the pilot, not therefore king you are, he answered, the Jesus, you say that, king I am. For unto this purpose, look at that word, ego ace. What does ace mean? The extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. For unto this purpose, for unto this reason, I was born. I have been born. I have been birthed. First person singular, perfect, indicative passive. I have been birthed. And for this reason, for this purpose, I have come into the world in order that I might witness to the truth. The truth is what? That God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And ever the one being, out of the truth he hears me, the voice, or my voice. Verse number 38. Legei alto. ho politos, ti esten aletheia. I'm going to tell you something. Truth is a very important thing. Truth means what? Aletheia, Brother Roger.
No shadow.
No dark places. It's all in the light. Okay? If you have the truth, you don't have to worry about history confirming your truth, do you? Do you? You don't have to worry about it confirming what you believe. If you believe that Jesus Christ came into this world, that he was Jehovah, can you prove that from history? From historical sources, yes, that God became flesh. That's what the historians say, even what's what the Jews say. We killed him. I remember a long time ago I was listening to R.G. Lee, which was a relative of the famous General Lee, Robert E. Lee. R.G. Lee, okay, the relative of General Robert E. Lee. He said that he walked into the house and his little sister was reading the Bible and she was crying. Tears were just flowing down her face freely. He was wondering, man alive, did she get a whooping or something? She's sitting there crying. And he came along and he said, so-and-so, what's wrong? And she said, they're killing him. And she was reading John, the 18th and 19th chapter. The murder of Jesus. That's what we're seeing, is a murder of Jesus. And he says to him, the pilot, what is truth? Paul, in his writings in 1 Timothy 6:13, allude to the confession of Christ that he bore before Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate wanted to release Jesus. He was warned of his wife. Claudia was Pilate's wife. That was her name. Who warned him not to have anything to do with Jesus. She was a granddaughter of Augustus Caesar. Okay? And the illegitimate daughter and of the third wife of Tiberius Caesar. Do you see how that Tiberius Caesar was very close to Pontius Pilate? Okay? It's his daddy-in-law. That's his daddy-in-law. Okay? That's his father-in-law. Okay? Let's go on. We can't quit here. We're right in the middle of the crime. We're right in the middle of the crime. We can't say next week. Kai tuto epon. Pauline Excel thing. Pros tus judeos. Kai lege autois. You don't mind me reading these phrases together, do you? All right. Ego eudaimion. Eurisco. Ek auto. Aetion. And this thing, having said again, he went out toward the Jews. And he says to them, I, moreover, not one fault, not one thing I find out of him a crime, a cause, an incident, a fault. Remember, there's a song that said, I find no fault in him. This word is aiteia again, page 10 in your analytical Greek lexicon. Cause? I don't find an MO. I don't find a motive here. There is no motive to prove what you're saying. There's no motive. There's no incitement. There's no accusation. There's no crime. There's no case. You don't have a case. You don't have a charge. You don't have an accusation. He's not the author and the causer of the problems, as you say. You're the author and the causer of the problems. Now, right here, right now, Pontius Pilate could have taken every one of the high priests and all of the Pharisees. Yes. Every one of these people, he could have taken them and crucified them. Go back to Deuteronomy 19, 16 through 21. Deuteronomy 19, 16 through 21. Let's look at that. Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy means what? Second law. All right. Deuteronomy 19. If a malicious witness rises up against a man to accuse him of wrongdoing, Then both of the men who have the dispute shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges, and will be in who will be in office in those days. And the judges shall investigate thoroughly, and if the witness is a false witness, and he has accused his brother falsely, then you shall do to him as he intended to do to his brother. What was that? Be crucified. This is the law of God, people. Thus you shall purge evil from among you. And the Sanhedrin court, that, who instituted the Sanhedrin court? Jethro, Moses' father-in-law. And he said, you go out and you pick out among you people that cannot, will not take a bribe. People that cannot, justice cannot be bought from them. People that are upright and just men. And they sure didn't find one right here. Thus you shall purge evil from among you. And the rest will hear and be afraid and will never again do such a thing among you. And thus you shall not show pity. Life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, and foot for foot. In Exodus 20 and verse 16, it starts talking about the laws of God. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not commit perjury, which they all had done. Now they should have been executed. Jesus would have been legally released at once. And the false accusers, according to Jewish law, would have been crucified.
I have a question.
Yes.
Because Jesus had already had that interview with Pilate and basically said there's nothing you can do.
Yeah. There's nothing you can do. You can't do anything. Yeah. Why is Pontius Pilate asking him his questions again?
To put it
on paper. This is a historical document. This is a historical document. This is the historical document that Pontius Pilate wrote to Tiberius Caesar, which was his father-in-law. You get the rest of the story now? Is it a big picture? A lot bigger picture than what you realize. This isn't baloney. This isn't fictitious. The Bible has not been perverted. 1839, Estende Sinethea. Himen hina hina. Apoliso himen anto pasca. Basile buleste un apoliso himen ton basilia ton judeon. Moreover, it is a custom to you that one he might be released. Look at that one. First person singular. First aorist subjunctive active. To ye in the Passover. One of them is going to be, one criminal is going to be released. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to be very gracious to you. Now the man that they're going to release is going to cause the destruction of Jerusalem. Did you know that? The man that they're going to call to be released is part of the Sicarii, which is the Jewish mafia, which were killing the Roman soldiers, which were those ones that inhabited Masada. And they're going to release one of the big shots. His name was Barabbas. And they want Jesus to be killed. They cut their own throats. They were so intent on evil, and yet want to pollute themselves religiously. In the Passover. Ye wish, therefore, I release to you the King of the Jews? I'm going to release him. I can do this. And then in verse 40. Ekrag gason. Un palin legontes. Me tuton. Alaton barabon. Ein de ha barabas. Lestes. And they cried out therefore again, continually saying, not this one, but the Barabbas. What does Barabbas mean? It comes from Bara and Abba. And it's Aramaic. And what does it mean? Son of the Father. He kept on being, but the Barabbas was a murderer. He was of the Sicarii. What other people were of the Sicarii in Jesus' disciples? Judas Iscariot and Simon the Zealot. And the Apostle Paul later on. And maybe even Simon the Cyrene the one that carried the cross. Maybe because he came from an area where there was a Sicarii stronghold. Okay? This is the Jewish mafia. These people that escaped from Masada were the ones that they say went into Sicily. And they formed a mafia there, basically, is what it was. That was a perfection. They protected each other. Okay? 19 and 1, we got to the 19th chapter of the Gospel according to John. Tote un eleben. Ho palatos ton eson. Kai emas tig gusen. Then therefore he took the pilot, the Jesus, and he scourged him. He's trying to do everything he can do to release him. He's going to try to get, he's going to try to see if he can seek out in these people one little element, one cell of mercy in their body. He's going to have this man almost beat to death. And then he's going to let him look at him. And when you look at somebody hurt like that, how many of you ever see somebody hurt real bad in a car accident? It touches you, doesn't it? It touches you. You see somebody maimed and destroyed, it just turns your stomach. It didn't theirs. They lapped the blood. They lapped his blood like dogs. Therefore he took the pilot and he scourged him. 19 and verse 2, and this is where we'll end up tonight. Kai hoi stratuste plex antes stephonon ek akanthon epithekon autu te kafale kai hemation pro phiron parabalon auton. And the soldiers, this is where we get the word strategy, is from that word right there. There's your English word strategy. The stratioste, the strategist, the soldiers, having plaited or having woven a wreath, a crown. This is the word Stephanos. Now, Jesus was by right, by birth, the king of Israel, wasn't he? And this is a crown that's placed on someone's head by right of birth. Out of the thorns, a canthon. And he placed it of him, the head, and the garment purple. They threw around him. Now he is shown to be the king of the Jews. All right. We'll start. Do you have any questions? We went from 18:26. 26 to 19:3.
I have a question.
Yes.
Kafale. What?
Kafale. Kafale.
I have a friend whose last name was Kafala.
Oh, Kafala, that means head.
Yeah.
Okay, that means head.
I thought you said my mom.
Yeah, Kafale.
Yeah.
That means head, Kafale. Jesus was being railroaded and he's being murdered. And like I said, in the Old Testament, it's usually said an old proverb that goes way, way back. This goes back hundreds of years. Paper bleeds little. But in this case, our Savior was prophesied in writing on paper that he would die. And he stood as a lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. And to say that Jesus didn't die for our sins is blasphemy to the God of heaven. Blasphemy to the God of heaven. All right. Any other questions? No. You got it down there, young lady? All right. Brother Roger, you got a question?
No.
You probably have one I can't answer. Corey, too, maybe. Sonia? All right, let's have a word of prayer and go out and do something eternal. Go out and carry this. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you for your word. It's so powerful. Help it to reach others. Help this message to go out. If somebody's listened to it and they hear your word and they're lost, help them to come to know you. Help them to repent of their sins, to call upon you to believe in the one and only mediator between man and God, Christ Jesus, God that became man and redeemed us. Thank you for what you did, Father. We know it cost you everything in this world. Jesus felt all of the pains of our lives cast upon him. Touch those out there that hear this message and help them to be encouraged to do things of the kingdom. And those that are lost, that they'll come to you and believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God, in which name that they might have eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.